Ireland has formally asked for help from Europe.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, good morning. I'm Steve Chiatakis. Now the global perspective, what's happening in business and economics around the world, and how it affects the United States. Irish banks lost billions of dollars in the real estate bust and global crisis. The country is awash in debt, and the Irish government now says it needs help to keep its financial system solvent. Marketplace's Stephen Beard is with us live from London with the latest. Hi, Stephen.
Hello, Steve.
What are the Irish asking for?
A package of loans from the European Union and the IMF worth well over $100 billion, as you were suggesting. The aim of this is to prevent the country's heavily indebted banks from collapsing. We don't know the exact amount or the terms of this package because they actually haven't been agreed, all of them, yet. They rushed this announcement out last night because they were worried that there would be mayhem in the markets this morning without any agreement at all. That's how sensitive this issue's become.
You know, Stephen, Ireland isn't even as big an economy as Greece. How did this become such a big story?
Well, it's all about confidence and connectedness. The 16 countries that use the euro are intimately linked. A big loss of confidence in one of them can quickly spread to some of the others, especially if they've got similar problems like Portugal and Spain. And turmoil in four or five euro countries could rock the whole single currency, which, let's not forget, is a major world currency now. If the euro unraveled, it could knock confidence in the whole global recovery.
And has news, Stephen, of the bailout calmed any jittery nerves?
To some extent, but it has to be in doubt that this has stopped the rot. Here's a man who watches the currency markets by the minute, Steve Barrow of Standard Bank.
I think if you look, for example, back at the experience of Greece earlier this year, it achieved a bailout, a very big bailout. People thought perhaps that was the end of it, and it wasn't.
All eyes, he says, are now on the next potential target, Portugal.
All right, Stephen, thank you.
Okay, Steve.
Marketplace's Stephen Beard in London. Over in Britain, meanwhile, the government is tackling its own budget issues by cutting services, including subsidies for public housing. Christopher Worth filed this report.
Follow me. Okay, well, you've seen the kitchen.
James Cummings shows me around his cramped one-bedroom apartment in a rundown part of East London.
The bathroom, toilet. It's not very big, is it?
For more than 2 years, the British government has covered most of the $1,200 a month he pays in rent under its housing benefit scheme. But that's about to change. Over the past decade, the total cost of the scheme has doubled to more than $30 billion. So the new Conservative government is capping the amount people receive at a level that's well below London's market rates. And Cummings is worried he might lose his apartment.
I mean, what are you going to do? Are you going to eat or pay your rent?
And he isn't alone. Sir Steve Bullock of the think tank London Councils estimates the cuts could put over 250,000 low-income Londoners at risk of losing their homes, pushing them far out of the city in search of cheaper rents.
This may well move us away from one of the great things about London, which is that it is a diverse city where rich and poor, black and white, live alongside each other in a way that in many cities in the world you do not see.
But Conservative councillor Philippa Rowe defends the cuts.
It's about a fair system that stops wasting huge sums of money at a time of economic austerity.
The city workers load up garbage trucks on the streets of London. Anne Power of the London School of Economics says London's economy could suffer if the cuts begin to push out large numbers of low-wage earners like these.
London is heavily, heavily dependent on very low-cost workers for everything, for our transport, for our health, for our childcare, for our street cleaning.
And she says without them, the city would literally grind to a halt. In London, I'm Christopher Worth. For Marketplace.
Let's do the numbers. Stocks in Europe are mixed, even with news of the Irish bailout. Asian markets were mixed today as well. On Wall Street Friday, the Dow tacked on 22 points to end the week at 11,203.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by LendingTree, providing up to 4 loan offers from a network of lenders. Learn more at LendingTree.com or 800-555-TREE. By the all-new Chevrolet Volt, available soon in select markets. Details at ChevyVolt.com. The all-new Chevrolet Volt, it's more car than electric. And by Vanguard, whose mission is to simplify investing and to help people reach their financial goals at vanguard.com/public radio.
Used to be one of the big hassles of changing wireless phone carriers in this country was having to also change cell phone numbers. Remember that? Well, that was fixed a few years ago. In China, they're still dealing with that issue, and there, changing numbers could lead to all kinds of bad luck. So the government's announced a pilot project that's going to allow people to keep their numbers even if they change carriers. Marketplace China Bureau Chief Rob Schmitz reports.
There's a lot to think about when you sign up for a phone number in China. Most people want an 8. It's synonymous with wealth. A 9's good, too. It means longevity. Stay away from 4. It sounds like the word death in Chinese. That's why many buildings here don't have a 4th floor. Having 1-4 in your number is even worse. The combination sounds like, I want to die in Chinese. When Wang Baoping first signed up for a number, she noticed a 4, so she paid a little extra for a safer number. But she might as well throw in a horseshoe and a 4-leaf clover to help her with her phone bill. Rates have gone up, but she can't switch phone companies without changing her number.
I paid for this number. There's no way I'm going to change it now. I've always had this number, and I love it.
The government's new program will give Wang what she wants. It'll make phone numbers more permanent. That's good news for everyone from Wang to a popular restaurant reservations line that has the number 57575777. In Chinese, that sounds like, I eat, I eat, I eat, eat, eat. In Shanghai, I'm Rob Schmitz for Marketplace.
And finally, maybe you're one of the millions flying this week for Thanksgiving. Maybe you're creeped out about body scanners and intrusive security pat-downs. One clothing maker says he has an answer. The owner of Rocky Flats Gear says he's come up with high-tech undergarments that are thin enough to conform to the body's contours. They don't set off metal detectors and hide what doesn't need to be seen. The men's underwear features a fig leaf design, while the ladies' version is shaped like clasped hands. In Los Angeles, I'm Steve Chiatakis. This is the Marketplace Morning Report.
American Public Media.
You need jobs? We got jobs.
The conventional wisdom up to now is that the prime generators of jobs are small businesses. But it's not just any small business, it's really the new businesses.
I'm Kai Rizdal. What's really fueling employment and the day's business news as well? Next time on Marketplace, it's from American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.